When was the last time you sat down to write out your personal mission statement? Well, for many of us, perhaps never. But according to Chuck Swindoll, crafting a couple of sentences could radically transform the decisions we make and the way we're remembered. Welcome to Insight for Living. You're about to hear a message Chuck presented at a summer family conference. In this relaxed and informal venue, attendees had ample time to reflect on God's purpose for their lives. Perhaps today's the day you'll write out a rough draft of your own. Chuck titled his talk, Creating a Legacy, a Personal Mission.
First Corinthians chapter 9. This is a great chapter on Paul's personal mission, which I am hoping to convince you of today, that you need one as he had his. I'm not saying yours must be his. It might be. Certainly wouldn't hurt anything if we all embraced Paul's mission. But Paul is saying in this chapter, I'm an apostle, and I have authority and rights, but I don't strut my stuff. Paul is saying in this chapter, I work hard as I minister with great energy, but I don't rip off the flock. He's saying that in this chapter. He also is saying, I present the gospel and I reach out to all, but I admit I'm in the process adjust my life so that I might win as many as possible, which is the emphasis I want to draw from chapter 9, verse 19, down through 23. Then I want to draw some very simple one-word lessons from this. Look at his words in 19. Though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I may win more. To the Jew, watch closely. I became as a Jew. Why, Paul? That I might win Jews. Second, to those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law. Why? So that I might win those who are under the law. And then he goes to the opposite extreme. Third, to those without law, to the lawless, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Why? So that I might win those who are without law. It doesn't stop till he mentions the fourth category, the weak. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. Now, again, if you don't mind marking a very unusual set of words, what we have here is a frequent repetition of the very same word. Verse 19, that I may win. Verse 20, that I might win. End of verse 20, that I might win. 21, that I might win. 22, that I might win. I, with great energy, prompted by the Spirit of God, and with effort, doing all that I can to adjust my life to these, I desire to win the maximum number to Christ. And by the way, I noticed that there is a rather eloquent contrast. The end of verse 22, I become all things to all men that I may by all means save some. Up until now, it's been all some. Paul's a realist. He's a realist. I will never win them all, nor will you. But our goal is to do all that we can do to reach all that we can possibly reach by all measures of reaching them so that some will be drawn to Christ. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world. Please hear that. I entered their world, and I tried to experience things from their point of view. I become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. Okay, let me give you these five words I promised you, and they're all sort of woven in the fabric of the verses we've just looked at. First of all, it calls for sacrifice. It calls for sacrifice. Though I am free from all, says the apostle, verse 19, I've made myself a slave to all. Sounds like sacrifice to me. You see, it's not all about us. It's God's church. It's not ours. Paul says, I voluntarily waive my rights in order that I might reach those outside my world. Rather hard, direct, but necessary question to ask. When was the last time you deliberately reached outside your comfort zone and spoke to someone about Christ? The last time you did that. I mean, you found a way to build a bridge to someone who was lawless, to someone who is in a different world than yours, to someone who doesn't know the nomenclature. If you did that, you sacrificed something, not the least of which was leaving your familiar and commonly enjoyed world. Second, a personal mission calls for vision. End of verse 19, so that I may win more. Think of creative ways to reach out. Musicals is a wonderful way for a church. Pop concerts. Going to a dramatic presentation with a friend, with a neighbor. Taking a friend to see that passion film is a magnificent. I mean, that was served us on a platter. What an opportunity. Athletic events. Just enjoying games together. A fun evening together around a meal. When's the last time you entertained a lost person in your home? It's the most natural, simple way to do it. Wonderful time. Working out together. Doing things at work together. Assuming that it's not in a Christian organization. I mean, it's built in. You're traveling with them. What a great opportunity to build a bridge. If that mission is yours, as Paul's, to reach those without Christ. Third word is flexibility. It takes flexibility. To the Jews, I adjusted myself, lifestyle. Even though Paul is now under grace, he adjusted to those under the law, the scrupulous people. Those without law, though Paul is this very firm, staunch, disciplined believer, those who were without law weren't turned off. Just think about the time he stood before the Athenians and he quoted from their literature. He didn't quote from the Old Testament, he quoted from their literature. Your own poet says such and such. And he did this extemporaneously. When he stood before his judges, Festus and Felix and Agrippa, and Agrippa's almost persuaded by Paul's presentation. And Paul says, I wish you were as I, except for these chains. I mean, he had Agrippa in his hands because he connected with those without law. Rather than exposing all the wrong of their lives, he told them of the rightness of Christ and how he had transformed his life. I mean, when you're with the lost, understand they don't know the stuff. They don't understand the Bible. Don't make fun of them. You know it, but they don't know it. I listened to a politician as he was a presidential hopeful, and made this statement. God knows I'm no theologian, but I preferred the original New Testament version where Noah strikes a match inside the whale and builds a fire and it coughs him out onto the island. It's a powerful message about a man being able to control his own destiny. Now, I count 7 mistakes in that. It's not the New Testament. It wasn't Noah. There were no matches. It wasn't a whale. There was no fire. There was not an island. And it's not about controlling your destiny. Missed the whole thing. It's amazing. You know why? Because he doesn't know the Lord from a lizard. He doesn't know Christ. He doesn't. He's religious, but he's lost. Like most of our friends, they're without Christ. Give them a break. We're together. We laugh over this because we know those things that are, you know, wrong. And you'll never reach them if you laugh at them. And it's remarkable how building a friendship, building a bridge, getting in their world, understanding their lives and what they go to bed with every night in their minds and their inability to cope with the stuff that Christ handles for us. Just imagine that. It does take flexibility. If we want to win them, if we want that to be our mission, just like as you're going to hear in this next hour, of 5 men who left the comforts of everything we call home and lived literally in trees and wilderness to reach a tribe called the Alcas. All 5 gave their lives because they were misunderstood. But the tribe's been reached. So it takes courage. That's the 4th. It takes courage. Being gutsy enough to stand for truth. So I can sound like I'm so flexible here that there is no standard, and you should know me better than that by now. There are times you simply stand for truth. And when it comes to the person of Christ, that's when you got to make it really clear. Be careful now in our age, because there's a whole lot of stuff floating around that we're all believing in the same God now that 9/11 has happened. And we're all going to go to the same destiny if we're nice and sincere. That's a lie. It's not going to happen. So graciously, you make it clear. I had sent to me a piece by Rick Mathis, M-A-T-H-E-S, Executive Director of Mission Gate Prison Ministry. Rick writes this: last month I attended my annual training session that's required for maintaining my state prison security clearance. During the training session, there was a presentation by 3 speakers who represented the Roman Catholic, Protestant, and Muslim faiths, who explained their belief systems. I was particularly interested in what the Islamic Imam had to say. The Imam gave a great presentation on the basics of Islam, complete with a video. After the presentations, time was provided for questions and answers. When it was my turn, I directed my question to the Imam, and I asked, "Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that all of the imams and the clerics of Islam have declared a holy jihad, holy war, against the infidels of the world, and that by killing an infidel, which is a command to all Muslims, they are assured of a place in heaven. If that's the case, can you give me the definition of an infidel?" There was no disagreement with my statements, and without hesitation, he replied, "Non-believers." I responded, "So, let me make sure I have this straight. All followers of Allah have been commanded to kill everyone who is not of your faith so that they can go to heaven. Is that correct?" The expression on his face changed from one of authority and command to that of a little boy who had gotten caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He sheepishly replied, "Yes." I then said, "Well, sir, I have a real problem trying to imagine Pope John Paul commanding all Catholics to kill those of your faith, or Pat Robertson or Dr. Stanley ordering Protestants to do the same in order to go to heaven. The imam was speechless. I continued, I also have a problem with being your friend. When you and your brother clerics are telling your followers to kill me, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have your Allah who tells you to kill me in order to go to heaven, or my Jesus who tells me to love you because I'm going to heaven and wants you to be with me? You could have heard a pin drop as the imam hung his head in shame. Chuck Colson once told me, he adds, that has sustained me these 20 years of prison ministry. He said, Rick, remember, the truth will prevail. Don't think for a moment I'm suggesting that you hedge on the truth. But there are very gracious ways to present it, as he did, very pointedly, very courageously. People will never come to know Christ without hearing the truth. They won't ease in because you're a good friend. It doesn't come by osmosis. It comes by submission of life to faith in Christ. Alone. Alone. He is the way, truth, and life. It takes courage. Finally, it always includes involvement. Involvement. A personal mission will never be embraced indirectly. That's like childbirth by proxy. Like having a baby without getting involved. Huh? Not so. We adopted this mission as our church directive: to encourage all people to pursue a lifelong joyous relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's why we exist. We repeat it as a staff, if not every week, certainly several times every month: to encourage all people to pursue a lifelong joyous relationship with Jesus Christ. We're all about encouragement. We're all about winning a hearing. We're all about forming friendships that lead to salvation. Recently, there was a 75th birthday that was celebrated that many people sort of let slide by, I'm sorry to say. The man's dead, but his memory lives. Martin Luther King, Jr., who once made this statement, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. If your time at Mount Hermon in this conference does not in some way spur you, encourage you to get out beyond your world, we've missed it, or you've missed it. Somewhere it's been missed. It isn't about keeping this, housing it like it's just ours. Creating a legacy of personal mission includes your reaching beyond your very familiar world. Am I doing the same thing? All right. Let's bow together. Just as we began, just sit quietly there. Let whatever thought may linger be sustained. If you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, what a magnificent moment this would be, and what a perfect setting in which to make that decision. He is available, and he's just as alive back where you live as he is here, but here it sort of comes into focus a little more clearly. What a magnificent moment it would be for you, just right where you're sitting, by faith alone, tell the Lord Jesus Christ you really need him as your Savior, as your only Savior, as your hope, as your reason to go on, to help you in the midst of Well, today, beginning in a legacy that has spiritual roots that will never end. But how good if they could begin today. If you know Christ, this is a great day to give some thought to your personal mission. And hopefully by the end of this time together, you'll be able to state it in a sentence. My personal mission is. Mine is to communicate accurately, clearly, and practically the truth of the Bible to as many as I possibly can for as long as I can. That's my mission. Today, I've had the joy of experiencing the fulfillment of it again with you. Our Father, we are by nature drawn inwardly, and we do, by a longstanding habit, hold things close to our vest. Well, we're taught in this politically correct world not to talk about religious things, and what a stupid piece of information that is to even tolerate. Thank you for the freedom of our land to speak openly, and may we never hesitate, but may we do so graciously and in a winsome manner. Guard us from being offensively confronting, and yet at the same time from hedging on the truth. Teach us balance in this. Thank you for these people around me. I'm better because I know them. I'm a better man being around people like this. And I need them, and we need each other. And we thank you for an opportunity to commit to a week together as we invest in each other's lives. Use the things we have heard today in a special way. If just one statement, may it burn its way into a crease in our brain so that it's never forgotten. For those without Christ, I pray you would lead them to yourself, our Father, and to do that soon. For his name's sake, we all pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Are you ready to write down your personal mission statement? Powerful and practical ideas on today's edition of Insight for Living. It's likely you picked up that today's message was originally delivered not in a church, but at a relaxing family retreat hosted by Insight for Living during the summer. It was the perfect setting for personal reflection on matters like creating a legacy of personal mission. Well, to request all 5 CDs in this series, or to download the audio files, just go to insightworld.org and look for the series called Creating a Legacy. And then if you've never contacted Insight for Living, there's a booklet written by Chuck that we'd like to send you. This highly requested sermon represents one of the hallmarks of Chuck's ministry. The booklet is called It's Time to Embrace Grace. And if you've never contacted Insight for Living, we'd love to send you a copy. For the free booklet, go to insight.org/embrace grace. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Are you looking for a good place to write down your personal mission statement? Well, let me suggest you try the brand new prayer journal from Insight for Living. Chuck?
When you take your Bible and open its pages to the very center, the middle of your Bible, it's likely your eyes will fall directly into the Psalms. We love the Psalms, don't we? Now, why is that? Well, in many respects, it's like reading someone else's private journal. We readily identify with the emotional cry of David's broken heart, or on another occasion, his plea for delivery, and yet another for forgiveness, or his unbridled praise to his faithful God. Years ago, I started a personal discipline that takes place away from the public and behind the scenes. Often it's in the quietness of my own study. It's a practice that has become deeply meaningful for me. With pen and paper, I'm writing, yes, you guessed it, my own personal psalms of praise, or requests for deliverance, or my desire for forgiveness, into my own private journal. Today, I'm inviting you to do the same. I want you to begin your own record of praise as well. Insight for Living Ministries has prepared an exclusive spiral-bound book just for you. We've called it Passionate Prayer. Keeping a record of your spiritual walk is important because if you're not careful, you'll pass quickly from one experience to another and you'll forget. You'll fail to capture the lessons that God is teaching you along the way. So give us a call, go online, or you may want to write us a letter. Do that today. Let us know that you'd like to have a copy. Simply ask for the prayer journal called Passionate Prayer.
And it's yours when you give a donation of any amount to Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. And I'll give that contact information one more time. Having begun this nonprofit ministry in 1979, this month we're celebrating 35 years of God's faithfulness. Would you be among the few who step forward to give? We rely on the voluntary gifts of loyal friends just like you in order to continue. There's no better time to give than right now while it's fresh on your mind. So go to insight.org. And when you give, be sure to request the spiral-bound prayer journal called Passionate Prayer. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll talks about creating a legacy of responsibility. Tomorrow, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Creating a Legacy of Personal Mission, was copyrighted in 2004, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.